Holy Spirit inside us is more to our advantage than Jesus beside us. And Jesus brought forth the Christian church by sending His Spirit on the day of Pentecost like a mighty rushing wind. And the place where they were meeting shook with God's power. And the result of that was that these disciples went out and they became known as the men who turned the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is the Holy Spirit who empowers all Christian ministry today. He's the one who gives the church resurrection power to fight against sin. And He applies the promises and the warnings of the Word of God to our hearts. He indwells His people. He sanctifies us, conforming us to Christ's image. And children, we must always remember this about the Holy Spirit, that He is God. God in us, dear believers. The third person of the Holy Trinity in us, the one who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And He is a person, just like the Father and the Son. In the Catechism in Lord's Day 20, we confess that the Holy Spirit is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son, and He is given to me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all His benefits, so that He may comfort me and abide with me forever. That's a confession that we as Reformed people adhere to. Is that your confession too? Yes? See, if it is, then that true faith being worked in you by the hearing of the Word of God and by the operation of the Holy Spirit regenerates you and makes you a new creature, freeing you from the bondage of sin and causing you and enabling you to live a new life out of Christ. Well, on this day of Pentecost, we want to consider our text from John 16, verses 12 through 15. John 16, verses 12 through 15. This is God's word to us this afternoon. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All that the Father has are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. With the help of the Lord, we want to consider this text under the theme, the Holy Spirit will guide you. And we want to do that by answering three questions. The first is, whom will He guide? And the second, where will He guide? And then thirdly, how will He guide? So first then, whom will He guide? The theme is, the Holy Spirit will guide you. In our text, we have a picture of the ones that the Holy Spirit guides. Because the Lord Jesus is speaking in these verses to His disciples. It's His final discourse before His death. It has all of John 14 through 16 and concludes with His high priestly prayer in John 17. So of whom does the Lord Jesus Christ say that the Holy Spirit will guide them? Who is the you in our text? Let me read it again with emphasis on you. I have yet many things to say to you. He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will show it to you, and He will show it to you. Five times, you is mentioned here. Who is this you? Well, we know who it is not from what Jesus said earlier in John 14. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not. So it's not the world that the Holy Spirit is going to guide. not the world, not the ungodly. Well, then who? And the first reference is to the disciples of Jesus. Judas has left. He's gone to betray his Lord. So the 11 disciples that are left. And what kind of people were they? They were all so slow to understand. Peter said to the Lord, "Why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." That's in John 13. And we all know what became of that. In John 14, verse 5, we meet Thomas. And Thomas says to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In verse 9 of chapter 4, we meet Philip. Philip, who had said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen the has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, 'Show us the Father'?" Those kind of people. Slow to learn. Slow to understand. That's the first reference to the disciples of Jesus' days, but by implication to his people of all times, to all believers. To all believers today too, Jesus says, "I have yet many things to say to you." And we can think of these disciples after 3 years of listening to Jesus' teachings, hearing all his sermons, seeing all his miracles, observing his sinless, perfect life. He still says, "I have yet many things to say to you." And that's true for believers today too. The Lord Jesus Christ still has so many things to say to us. No, not in the same sense as he did to those original disciples. They had only the Old Testament. We have also the New Testament. And yet, we do not learn everything in one day. It takes a lifetime to learn. We heard it this morning. Jesus teaches his disciples many things. "I have yet many things to say to you," he says here. "But you cannot bear them now. You cannot carry this right now. It would be too heavy for you to carry." They needed more maturity. They couldn't endure it yet, all that the Lord Jesus had to say to them. It would be too much for them to handle all at once. When they were ready, then Jesus would tell them what they still needed to hear, and then they would hear it. And you know, the same thing is true today, isn't it? For the Lord's people. Or do we think that we are so much wiser than those first disciples? Do we think we know everything there is to know from the Scriptures? No, we are not ready to bear everything at once either. Most often, there's a gradual growth, a slow growth in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And right now, disciples, Jesus says, "You're not ready to bear all things yet." But, verse 13, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." When the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you, my dear disciples. He will guide you, dear believers, today. And the word "guide" here means to guide someone in acquiring knowledge. He will lead you to know. He will guide your learning. So that's the answer to our first question. Whom will he guide? Those who believe in him. His original disciples and his disciples today. All those who believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, where will he guide? When we were in Israel several years ago, we had a tour guide. His name was Sam. And he knew Israel like the back of his hand. And he knew exactly where to take us and how to take us there and how to show us everything just from the right angle so that we would have the complete experience. And he would take us to places not only just so that we could see it, but so we could actually go there and smell it and experience the whole thing. That's what the Holy Spirit is like. But it says here, he will guide you into all truth. And in Greek, it is all the truth. And that means that we do not yet know all the truth. We don't know the complete truth, the full truth, the absolute truth. Even though we have our complete Bibles, we still need the Holy Spirit to guide us into all the truth. He is called the Spirit of Truth. John 14, verse 7. Also in our text, in verse 13, the Spirit of Truth. And in John 15, verse 26, the Spirit of Truth. And there, Jesus says, He shall testify of Me. So to guide believers into all the truth means to guide believers into the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that first reference to the disciples. The Holy Spirit will guide them into all the truth. In their personal lives, their souls are led into all the truth in such a way that they are enabled later on to teach others. This Holy Spirit inspires those disciples to put that truth down in writing, in black and white in the New Testament. The day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit came and He filled those disciples. And Peter is transformed, and he becomes a bold preacher of the gospel. And we see the difference in Philip, the one to whom Jesus said, "Have I been such a long time with you, and have you not known me, Philip?" We find him again in Acts chapter 8. Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached to the eunuch Jesus from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Those disciples, those apostles were led by the Holy Spirit to write the Holy Bible. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we confess in the Belgic Confession in Article 3 that afterwards God, from a special care which He has for us and for our salvation, commanded His servants, the prophets and apostles, to commit His revealed word to writing. So what does that mean for us today? It means when the Holy Spirit guides you, He will always do that through the Word of God, through our reading of the Holy Scriptures, through the preaching of the Holy Word of God. He will guide you into all the truth. And let me show you what that means. Jesus says to His Father in John 17, "Thy word is truth." He says in another place to Philip, "I am the way." To Thomas, "I am the way and the truth." So when it says the Holy Spirit shall guide you into all the truth, it means the truth of the Holy Word of God and the Son of God. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." 4 verses later, in John 8, verse 36, He says, "The Son shall make you free," the Son of God. "Then you shall be free indeed." So you put that together. The truth shall make you free. And we know that that's the truth of the Word of God. And the Son of God shall make you free. And that means the Holy Spirit, when He guides us into all the truth, He is guiding us into the truth of the Word of God and into the Son of God Himself. Jesus says, "He shall not speak of Himself." That's what He says about the Holy Spirit. "He shall not speak of Himself," the middle of verse 13. So as the Holy Spirit guides the Lord's people, He, as it were, hides Himself. And He's purposely not speaking about Himself. There are people in every church that I've been to who want to hear of the Holy Spirit all the time. They want to hear in every sermon how it is that the Holy Spirit works in God's people, how He converts us, how He convicts us. Every sermon, they say, must deal with the work of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, He will not speak of Himself. He will not draw attention to Himself. So biblical sermons will not be all about the Holy Spirit's working. The Holy Spirit will not speak of Himself. He will not draw attention to Himself. Well, then, to what does He draw our attention? He guides believers into all the truth. Whatever he shall hear, says Jesus, that shall he speak. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, and His work always is to guide believers, not to the Spirit Himself, but into all the truth. He's not going to bring a new message that's just for you. He's going to bring the same message as always from the Old Testament and the New Testament and the message that Jesus proclaimed, the same message that the Father proclaimed. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's also the truth that the Holy Spirit proclaims. God the Father is well pleased in His Son. And Jesus says this Holy Spirit is not going to speak of Himself. Whatever He hears, that will He speak, and He will show you. That means He will declare to you things to come. And the Holy Spirit did show the disciples, the apostles, things to come, prophecies of future events, all the truth, all found in the Scripture. And today, beloved, we have all the truth in our hands, in our Bibles, but we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into all that truth. We confess in Belgian Confession Article 2, we believe that those Holy Scriptures fully contain the will of God, that whatever man ought to believe unto salvation is sufficiently taught therein. So all we need to know for faith and for life is in His Holy Spirit-inspired Scriptures. So who will He guide? Those who believe the gospel, those who trust for their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And where will He guide? He will guide them into all the truth, which we have now found out. It will be all the truth of the Holy Word of God, and it will be the person of Jesus. And now we need to answer yet, how? How will the Holy Spirit guide you? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 14, He shall glorify Me. And to glorify means to praise and to exalt someone and to clothe that person in splendor. The word order in Greek is Me, He shall glorify. All the emphasis is on the Me, the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit shall praise Me. He shall honor Me. He shall exalt Me. He shall clothe Me in splendor. Remember, it's Jesus who's teaching us about the work of the Holy Spirit. Me He shall glorify, He says. No one else but Me. And this term to glorify and to give glory, that's a theme that runs all through the gospel according to John. The whole life of Jesus Christ is shown as the Son glorifying the Father and the Father glorifying the Son. In John 17, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. John 14, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That glorifying of the Son is brought about by the miracles and the healings that the Father has Him perform. We're all aware of the story of Lazarus who had died. And when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, in John 11 He says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And that glorifying of the Son of God is also brought about through His own people. He says in John 17, I am glorified in them. In our text, the glorifying of the Son is brought about by the Holy Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Son of God through the Holy Scriptures, and He applies that to His people. Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. The mystery of godliness, writes Paul, is that God, Christ, is received up into glory. It's a grand theme of Scripture, and it ought to be the grand theme of every Christian life, the glory and the glorifying of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, we read of the prophet Isaiah prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and he says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." And children, we know the song that the angels sang when Christ is born in Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest. Paul writes to the believers, the Jewish believers in Corinth, "You have crucified the Lord of glory." And Stephen in Acts chapter 7, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God. And how did he see the glory of God? With Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And when we think of his coming again, his second coming on the clouds of heaven, then Paul writes to Titus, we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. John says, when Jesus was on this earth, we beheld Christ's glory, as of the only begotten of the Father. Oh, that we would be filled with zeal for the glory of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how is that going to happen, dear believers? The Spirit of truth shall glorify me, says Jesus. And he does that objectively in the Word of God as our guide into all the truth. It's as if Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's work is to shine his spotlight on me, and only on me, the Lord Jesus Christ, in my glory. And as he does that, he illuminates the understanding of his disciples and his believers at all times. And he opens our eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Holy Spirit shows his spotlight on Christ Jesus, believers are brought to a saving faith and a believing confession. It's like the church of all ages being in awe and seeing Christ's glory. And then we will worship the Savior, the only begotten Son of God. And we will be on our knees often before him. That's the glory of the grace and the love and the wisdom and all the benefits of Christ, of which the Holy Spirit makes believers partakers. He will glorify me, says Jesus, for he shall take of mine. He shall take of what is mine. So that corresponds, me and mine. He will guide you into all the truth, all the saving realities found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall receive, he shall take of mine and report it to you, my dear disciples. He will declare it to you, he will show it to you, taking the things of Christ and reporting it to his disciples. That's what glorifies Jesus. All of Scripture serves to that end, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus continues in verse 15, all that the Father has are mine. And when Jesus says mine, he does not exclude his Father. No, Jesus' whole purpose always was to glorify his Father in heaven. Whatever the Father has is mine, he says. And those things the Holy Spirit declares to you, they belong to the Father and the Son. Look how it progresses. Verse 13, whatever he shall hear, he will show it to you. Whatever he shall receive of mine, he will show it to you. Whatever the Father has, and you can sum it all up in one phrase, he will guide you into all the truth. The Father has it. The Spirit owns it. The Holy Spirit takes it and shows it to us. The Holy Trinity works to make this blessed treasure a believer's possession. All things that the Father has are mine, says Jesus. Back in chapter 10, he said, I and my Father are one. In 14 verse 9, I've already mentioned it. When Philip says, "Show us the Father and it suffices us," then Jesus says to him, "Have I been so long time with you, and have you not known me, Philip?" You would expect Jesus to ask here, "Have I been such a long time with you, and have you not known the Father, Philip?" Because that's what Philip asked for. He wanted to see the Father. But Jesus says, "Have I been such a long time with you, and have you not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." And how do you say then, "Show us the Father"? And there can be so much confusion. Some people say, "Well, by faith I know Jesus, but I don't know the Father." And Jesus says here, that's impossible. You cannot know me and not know the Father, because I and my Father are one. And he that has seen me has seen the Father. We are one. Don't separate us. "He shall take of mine and shall show it to you." That's what Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do. He will take of mine, things that are mine, and show it to you. And notice very carefully what it does not say. It does not say, "He shall take of yours and show it to Jesus." Or, "He shall take of yours and show it to you." That's not what he says. "He shall take of mine and show it to you." We so often get this all backwards. We want to do the Holy Spirit's work for him, and then we do it in reverse. And we want to take of ours and show the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to show him, for example, how deeply we know our sins. We want to show him our repentance, to show Jesus how our life has changed, and how sincere we are, and how concerned we are, and how convicted we have become, and how serious we are. And how we've even cried about our sins, and how sorry we are for our sins. And we did it again, and we come and we're saying, "Sorry, Jesus." And we want to show him how we have learned to pray. And we know, no, Jesus, they're not perfect prayers. We know that. But they have all the elements of true prayer: adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. And we pray at the stated times, and we pray in Jesus' name, and we are sincere in our praying, and we even pray spontaneously sometimes. And Jesus, look how faithful we are to attend church. We'll never miss a service. On weekdays too. And we give faithfully to the church. And we stand up for Scripture. And we volunteer at certain organizations, and we strive to raise godly children, and we speak to our neighbors. Look, Jesus, at all the things of ours that we want to show to you. And we make a long list of ours to show to Jesus. And in the meantime, we're really showing it to ourselves. But we want to show it to Jesus as evidence of his grace in us, or to show him how badly we want to be saved. Why are we so anxious to show the Lord our things? You know why that is, really? It's because secretly we rest in our things, in our experiences and so on, and we trust in them more than we do in Jesus himself. No, this text does not say, "He shall take of yours and show it to you." It also does not say, "He shall take of the Holy Spirit's work and show it to you." What does it say? "He shall take of mine, of Christ's, and show it to you." And we sort of like this, don't we? We want to check for the marks of grace in our lives, and we want to know of our Christian experiences. And we want the Spirit to show us and say, see there and at that time how you were under conviction of sin. And there and at that place, how you came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And there at that time and place, how brokenhearted you were. And how you are now living a life of gratitude. Jesus says, no, he shall not speak of himself or of his work. And he shall not speak of you either. Because in both cases, all the focus would be on you. And on the Holy Spirit's work in you. And that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Me, he shall glorify. He shall glorify me, says Jesus. He shall receive of mine and show it to you. I said it again. He shall take of mine and shall show it to you. And all the focus will be, when the Holy Spirit is at work, all the focus will be on the Lord Jesus Christ. True Christian experience is that the Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God and in you. And the evidence of your Christianity, the evidence of saving grace, is your knowledge of and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence of your Christianity and of saving grace is your estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ and your trust of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as that happens, and as that increases, and as that grows, then you're not so anxious to show the Lord your tears because you know how insincere they can be at times. No, then you're more interested in reading what the Bible says. Jesus wept. Not that I wept, but Jesus wept. And you're not so much interested anymore in showing the Lord Jesus your works because you know how all your works are stained and polluted with your sin. But then you're more interested in what the Holy Spirit says, that Jesus said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And then you're not so anxious anymore to show the Lord Jesus how sincere your prayers are because you know many times they're not. Then you're more interested in what the Holy Spirit says, Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. It's never asked in the Bible this question, what do you think of the Holy Spirit? No, but the Holy Spirit inspires this question, what do you think of Christ? Never asked in the Bible, what do you think of yourself now? No, the Holy Spirit inspires this question, what do you think of Christ? Search the Scripture, says Jesus. They testify of me, of Jesus Christ. In Lord's Day 7, question and answer 20, true faith is a certain knowledge and an assured confidence which the Holy Spirit works by the gospel in my heart, that remission of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given to me only for the sake of Christ's merits. If that little phrase were not in there, none of this would be. There would be no remission of sins. There would be no everlasting righteousness. There would be no salvation. But it's only for the sake of Christ's merits. And there in our confessions too, Jesus is glorified. Think of 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. God our Savior will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Whom to know is eternal life. It's the knowledge of God. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Scriptures worked by the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit works through the preaching of the Word of God, then that preaching will be Christ-centered. A Christ-centered sermon is the Holy Spirit at work, because then Jesus himself is speaking. The Spirit of truth shall guide you into all the truth. That means me he shall glorify. And who hears this? Who hears the voice of Jesus? Jesus himself says in John 18, everyone who is of the truth. And that means everyone who is guided by the Holy Spirit into all the truth. And where in this world are we going to hear the truth? In the Belgian Confession, Article 29, the first of the three marks by which the true church is known is if the pure doctrine of the gospel is preached therein. That's why the church is called by Paul in 1 Timothy 3, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Do you see, beloved, how absolutely necessary it is for you that the Holy Spirit guides you? You cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit shows you him in the Word of God. But how can you get this Holy Spirit? Do you know? I'm going to be very bold. And I'm going to say to you, he is yours for the asking. And that's not based on my thoughts. I take that straight from the Word of God. And I would encourage you to turn with me now to Luke chapter 11. We're going to be closing here very quickly. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 11 through 13. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Here the Holy Spirit is showing us the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you who is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And the obvious answer to these three questions is, well, no, of course not. A father would never do that to his children. Give him a stone instead of bread, or a serpent instead of a fish, or a scorpion instead of an egg. Of course not, is the answer. And then Jesus says, well, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask him? And I know in King James there's a question mark there. There shouldn't be. It's not really a question. It's a statement that Jesus makes. How much more your heavenly Father shall give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So my question to you just a minute ago was, how can you get the Holy Spirit? And I said, he's yours for the asking. Because that's what Jesus says. Your heavenly Father shall give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And when you receive him, he will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you into the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, you who are being led into all the truth, You sense something that you need the Lord Jesus Christ more and more in your life. You need Him more today than you did a year ago. The Holy Spirit guides you into all the truth, and He shows you more and more of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus, because of that, becomes more and more precious to you, and more necessary. And you echo after John, "He must increase, and I must decrease." Is your love for Jesus growing? Your longing for Jesus growing? That's the result of the Holy Spirit guiding you into all the truth. Inspired by this Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter concludes his second letter with these words, "But you," he says, "grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." In response to God's word, we will sing number 64. "Lord, I lift my soul to Thee." All four verses of 64.